I'm talking to Mr. William R. McKay, and he's going to tell me a little bit about Mr. Coffee and the apple orchard.
Well, Mr. Coffee's apple orchard was a famous landmark in the town of Rothsay in the 1920s. I started to go to the public school in 1925, and the Coffee apple orchard was located in a big field right opposite the public school on the Gondola Point Road, where the Rothsay Town Hall now sits. And Mr. Coffee lived in the little house down at the bottom of the field. His orchard was up on the higher ground by the Gondola Point Road. And we gave him a very trying time on recess. We all used to sneak across the road and start to try to steal his apples in the fall after we just started school. And the orchard stayed there until Mr. Coffee died, and the trees fell into disrepair, and eventually all disappeared until the town hall was built. So that really is the story of the Coffee apple orchard. How well it started, it was there when I started school. And how long it had been there before I arrived on the scene, I have no idea.
Now you're going to tell me a bit about sailing.
Yes, my brother and I had a boat on the Kennebecasis River located at the Rothsay Yacht Club, which we brought up from Belfast, Maine, or our father brought it up, I would guess in about 1934. And we sailed against several yachts in the Rothsay area. There weren't too many in those days, but yachts owned by Jack Sayle and Eric Blanchett, and there were probably not more than six or eight yachts in Rothsay at that time, quite unlike what we have today. And we basically sailed against the yachts down at the RKYC, the Royal Kennebecasis Yacht Club. And we had a series of races in those days, and then we went off and joined the RKYC in July, and we sailed up to Fredericton and into the Grand Lake on an annual cruise, which I don't know whether they still have or not. And we stocked up, and we'd say the principal thing we lived on when we went on that one-week cruise was Rankin's Biscuits. And my father used to buy us a great big, I don't know how many pound box of Rankin's Biscuits. And Rankin's Biscuits were made in St. John. Long since have disappeared. The factory closed many, many years ago. But many happy memories of those days. And then, of course, the war came along in the late 70s, in the late 30s, and all the boats were pretty well gone and had gone other places by the time we all came back in 1946 after the war.
What was your boat's name?
The boat's name was the Dahinda, D-A-H-I-N-D-A, which is Micmac for bullfrog. And it was named after a boat that my grandfather, Mr. W. Malcolm McKay, had on the river, which was also called the Dahinda, which was a very, very large boat. And my grandfather had five sons, which my father was one of them, and they were brought up in the first Dahinda on the river, way back after about the turn of the century.
Okay. Could you tell me a bit about your family's history, where your mom and dad came from, and all of your brothers and sisters, and maybe your grandparents, and how long your family originally was in Rothsay?
Well, starting off on my mother's side of the family, whom you will talk to in shortly, her family originally came from a place called Ohio in Nova Scotia, which is just outside of Yarmouth. And my grandfather came over here as a relatively young man, Grandfather Crosby, and he established the Crosby Molasses business on Rossell Avenue, where it still is. And my mother's the last surviving member of that family at the age of nearly 98. My grandfather died many, many years ago. And on my father's side, my grandfather came from England. Came over and established in St. John in the Mackay House on Orange Street, where all his sons, including my father, were born. And Then it is said that when they brought in taxes, property taxes in the city of St. John in the early 1900s, my grandfather, being a true Scot, wasn't going to have anything to do with paying property taxes, so he bought his property around Rathsay, out in Rathsay, which he originally used as a summer home, and they used to come out by horse and sleven out to Rathsay from St. John along the Marsh Road and out the Rathsay Road. And then he eventually moved out and located in Rathsay. This is the house that is presently occupied by Dr. Colin Mackay.
See, now he would be your brother.
Dr. Colin Mackay is my first cousin. He would be a son of Colin.
Okay.
My father was Malcolm.
I see.
I had only one brother, and his name was Malcolm, and he died last year. He's 4 years younger than I am, and so my mother and I are the only two left in our branch of the family. But there were a lot of Mackays. As I say, Colin, and then he had one sister, Janet, who now lives in Vancouver, and then you've already talked to the Inches and Mrs. Hunter, and they are daughters of Hugh Mackay, which is another of the five sons. And then one son was killed in the First World War in August 1918, just before the end of the war, and his name was Ray. And that is Captain Ray Mackay, and that is my middle name, named after him. And then my son in Toronto is Ray Mackay.
Oh, that's
great. So that fills in the family history.
Now, I want to know, if your mom was a Crosby, you must be related to George Crosby, who I
George Crosby is my first cousin.
Cousin also.
George Crosby, my mother and George Crosby's father were brother and sister. And there was another daughter and another son in that family, whereas the Mackays were, of my father's generation, were five boys. My mother's family were two boys and two girls. And Mr. Crosby, George's father, all died 10 or 15, probably 15 or 20 years ago. And my mother's sister, married a dentist from Boston when she was quite young and moved to Boston and lived in Boston all her life. In the latter years, I looked after her because her son predeceased her, and my wife and I went down to her 100th birthday party about 4 years ago, and then we went down. Unfortunately, she lived to be one day short of 101, and we went down and buried her, and she always referred to my mother, who is the one that is now approaching 98, as her baby sister.
There you go.
I can give you one recollection. I read her in snow again, going back into the 20s, and the five Mackay boys, of which there were only four, came out of the First World War, and all four of them lived in Rathsay. And my grandfather, of course, was in the house that Dr. Colin Mackay is in, and he had a gentleman by the name of Archie Morton, who used to live in a little house over here, and you probably crossed his name.
Yeah.
And Archie Morton drove the sleigh in the morning, and he used to come around on the winter's mornings and pick up each of the four Mackay sons and drive them down to the Rathsay Railroad Station, where they boarded the train to go to town and go to work, and that he was there to meet the 5 o'clock train when they came home at night and brought them all back and delivered them to their four houses.
Oh.
That's one of my few recollections of the 1920s winter.
Okay.
Out of knowledge,
okay.
One of my more famous schoolmates. When I went to the Rathsay Consolidated School, and I think I was in grade three, and this would make it about 1928, and we had two brothers who were the infamous Bannister brothers. Have you ever heard of the Bannister brothers?
No, I haven't heard this one
yet. Their mother was May Bannister. And they eventually went up to Moncton, and the Bannister trial was a very famous trial in New Brunswick, and they both eventually hung. And I don't know whether they both were. Certainly Daniel was hung, and I don't know whether Mary's mother was hung or not, but they were in my class, and I remember I have a picture actually here with them in my class picture. I think it's grade three.
my goodness. Okay.
Dr. O.L. Peters was a doctor here for an awful lot of years. Dr. O.L. Peters went to McGill University. I know, and Dr. Peters was a fraternity brother of mine. When the first year my fraternity in McGill was started, and he was in it, so this was one of my connections with him. But we used to go, his daughters used to give dancing classes, instructions in dancing classes.
Mara Jackson.
And we used to go up there, we used to be getting whipped up though when we were about 10, 12 years old. And of course, the favorite trick to do when we went there was to steal everybody's shoes and put them in the refrigerator and hide them. And I can remember they'd be running all over the house trying to find Jimmy's shoes, and they'd be hidden in the refrigerator. And then Dr. Peters, I had occasion when I had to go into the hospital last year to, when they asked me what previous surgery I'd had, and Dr. Peters took my tonsils out, I guess probably in 1920, and my mother tells me, he took them out on the kitchen table and burned them in the kitchen stove.
Oh, my
God. The girls in the hospital got quite a kick over that. And then when Dr. Peters used to come and visit us when our children were young, and we always used to laugh, but we all grew up when he had to give him a pill, he'd reach into his vest pocket and pull out a pill. Give it to him.
Give me a bottle of them, just the one out of the pocket.
Pull it out of the vest pocket and put it in their mouth. And can you imagine that being allowed today?
I don't think it would be understandable.
But nevertheless, he was a wonderful man, and Rasa was very fortunate to have him over all the years he was here.
Okay.
Now, we have some real characters of masters in RCS. I started Rossi Collegiate School in 1929, and that was the year that we were starting to build a schoolhouse, and the old schoolhouse was still there, which they tore down that year, my first year, while they were building the new one. And the old schoolhouse used to be where the Macau residence is now, and the Macau residence was built and donated by my grandmother and my father and his three brothers. And it was dedicated in 1939, just before the war. And that's going back to my days though. My first year, my teacher, starting off in Form 2B with Phil Allison and several others from the Rossi area, was Audrey Allison, who was Phil Allison's sister. And we were taught in the North House reading room. We weren't old enough and weren't allowed in the schoolhouse.
Uh-huh.
And then our second year, we went over, the new schoolhouse was completed, and we went over and started our classes in Form 2A in the brand new schoolhouse. This would be in 1930. And of course we had the famous characters of masters, Cha Cooper, and they tell the story of Cha Cooper, who was a very eccentric Englishman, and you have all these stories that you can't tell whether they're truth or fiction, but the best one on Cha Cooper was the night that they nailed his slippers to the floor beside his bed, and then they rolled a shot put down the stairs, and he jumped out of bed and got into his slippers to run out to see what was happening, and fell over on his face because he couldn't get his feet off the ground. So this is only folklore from the glory days of RCS. And we had Fanny Cooper and Pirate Jackson and Bone Tooth Legasic. Pirate was Meg's husband. The best master I ever had in my life. He was a Cape Breton coal miner originally, and tough as nails. But boy, everybody respected him. And as I say, we had the Beak, who was the headmaster, Dr. Hibbert. And they were wonderful days when you look back on them. I don't know today's masters whether they could live up to them as to character, probably quality, very definitely, but character-wise. Yeah, they had to put up with it. Today, well, I don't imagine everybody gets the strap at RCS today like we did. That's the end of, I could go on again in RCS at more length, but time doesn't allow.
Okay. This is Miss Daphne Kai, and she's going to tell me about the Prince of Wales. Mrs. Daphne Kai, and she's going to tell me a bit about the Prince of Wales visit.
Yeah, well, I don't know too much about it because, you see, I couldn't go.
No.
I remember when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
It was the year he was born. And he said it was the 12th of July. And he said his birthday.
Your son was born, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you were telling me something.
And he lived in that house that he lived in was his house. But it was, I think, I don't know who built it. Now, I can't go back and tell you. But the Pugsley lived there. The Honorable William Pugsley for many, many years.
And
it was a boarding house, too.
Was it?
Yes, they had a big L on it, and they tore it off.
Oh.
So then, when it was for sale, why, husband said, it went very, very cheaply for around $6,000 or $7,000. I want to get rid. It was very run down, and he had spent quite a lot of money on it. And Bill was there with his wife. And they had met in that house on a blind date. Her mother had rented it, and so it meant quite a lot. And Mr. Mackay, my husband, said to them, you're not taking this, are you?
Yes, do you want me to stop it?
Well, no, but I mean, he had said, you two met in a blind date in that house and went out. And I said, I know they did. And he said, and that was it. And her mother said afterwards that there was just a gleam in her eye and a gleam in his eye when they met. She could just tell they were going to make a match of it.
Wonderful.
And so it's had quite a lot of romance connected, but I guess now they call it terror, and I guess they've turned it all to pieces.
Oh. Now you've got to sit on a royal throne.
Yeah.
You felt quite great because you...
Well, that's what it was off the bed, one bedroom, you see. And I suppose he was only there, and they tell me...
Well,
he was there, they put a big, there's a lot of grounds, and they put a big thing out in the yard, a tent.
A big tent? What was in the tent?
Tea and coffee, where they served refreshments.
Oh.
Oh, I think. I don't know. I'm making that up, and I'm sure it would be that. Because, and they built a big veranda on it.
Oh, my.
Well, what do you want to ask me?
I want to know, you used the bathroom that he used then.
Yeah, I sat on the seat at the Prince of Wales.
Well, that's quite a thrill.
I don't know whether he had to go or not while he was there. But I made the, he used to make the remark, you know, laugh when I'd be upstairs. It was the biggest bedroom, and the bath was off their room, you see.
Nice.
And I used to say, well, I've got to go in the bathroom and sit in the toilet where the Prince of Wales used to sit. And I don't even know he went.
The royal though. He must have, though.
I wasn't there, you see.
No.
Because I was pregnant before he was born.
And you couldn't get to go, and your mom would
let you. So that's over 70 years ago.
Oh, my. Tell me, what memories do you have of Rossay?
Well, I came out here to live when about, I don't know, I lived in Halifax. And I lived in England for, I traveled around so much I couldn't tell you. I lived over in England for 3.5 years during the war, the second war, the first war, and worked over there in Canadian canteens and everything. My husband was in France. And then we came back and we lived in Halifax. And then the Mackays were in the lumber business and he wanted
to. Where?
Yes, Mackay Lumber, they're still in. Forest products in town, and we came back here and lived in Rossay and took an old house which is up there. It's there, right on the foot of College Hill out here.
Oh, yeah.
And we fixed it all up and it was pretty nice. If I do say to myself,
mm-hmm.
They used to tell me they thought I had about the nicest house in Rossay.
Oh my.
Well, not for grandeur, but for comfort and...
It's nice.
Homey. I mean, it was cozy and homey.
Homey. Yeah. Now tell me a bit of the family history. Tell me, you're mixed up. You were a Crosby, were you not?
Crosby and Lossis, yes.
Yes. And
Mrs. Starr, do you know Jane next door?
I've interviewed her.
Well, she's my niece.
She's your niece.
Her father was my oldest brother.
Oh,
my. My oldest, yeah, brother, you see, I had another, Victor Younger, who died. But Fred Crosby, who was the head of the Crosby Molasses, and my father and Jane is my niece.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm her aunt.
You're an aunt. Okay.
She always calls me Auntie Daphne. My name is Daphne.
Yeah.
But, no, I've been out here, and I lived in that house for many years. That house that I lived in was a house that the Humakais, the oldest son, he married Hazen, Sir Douglas Hazen's daughter, Lady Hazen's daughter, and the house wasn't, of course, grand for them at all, so he moved it down, well, it's next door to them, and built them a very lovely house that somebody's just moved into now, I believe, that somebody from away, they bought it and they're going to move in. Some doctor out here who's come back here to live. And then they moved ours, that house down below. And my father-in-law said, well, it's falling down, but if you're at all interested, I'll put a basement in it and put a nail on it and put bathroom, well, as it has four bathrooms at present, because we kept spending money on it. And he said, I'll make quite a house out of it. Well, there it is up there. It's an awful pretty house. It's up at the foot of College Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's like inside, but... When I had
What did you name it? What did you call it? What was
Brayley,
it?
The beside the brook. A brook goes right through the property.
Oh, how nice.
It's a Scottish, yeah.
Now, what did your husband's... What's your husband's full name? What was your husband's full name?
What was it, what?
What? Your husband's full name, Malcolm Mackay?
Malcolm Mackay.
Now, what did he
they
do?
There were five boys, and they all had two names.
They did?
Hugh Mackay, Campbell, Colin Mackay, Malcolm Mackay, and,
Ray.
Well, anyway, Ray Mackay, and I'm trying to think of the one that died down here just a couple of years ago.
Oh.
Anyway, there were five boys.
Mm. And what did your husband do for a living around here?
Lumber business.
He was in the lumber business.
Sure
did
was.
Did he do the lumber? Was the
and he had a farm. Then he gave that up, and he bought Hilo Farm in Hampton, which is still up there on the hill, and raised cattle. And we went away to cattle shows, and he raised cattle, good cattle. And when you stepped in the barn, you had stuff on the mat so your feet wouldn't have any germs for the cows.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't allowed to walk too near where they fed certain aisles that were very fussy.
Oh, nice.
That were all, he sold the milk, you see.
No,
Kinghurst milk, it's still sold, I think. I don't
Kinghurst,
know.
Kinghurst?
Yes, she's Kinghurst.
Izzy, tell me about what Kinghurst. Tell me all you know about Kinghurst.
How I know what?
All the things you know about it.
I don't know anything. I know it's Kinghurst and always has been ever since I've come out here and people have lived here.
Yeah.
But my husband's brother was, he was in with him and he came and they called it Kinghurst.
Oh.
But I don't want to, Kinghurst is only about one by one, you know. Goes right into Riverside, you know,
yeah.
The country club comes.
Yeah, I know where it
when
is.
When you step out here in no time, you're in East Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Kinghurst is anything bigger than about that.
Mm.
I don't know why they gave it that name. I couldn't tell you.
No. It used to have a lot of dairies. Now it's just a big, beautiful, beautiful big house.
What?
It's a beautiful big house.
Where?
The Kinghurst.
Over here?
Yeah.
On the top of the hill?
Yeah.
They built it.
Mm. But it used to have a beautiful farm all in back. Is that, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah, but now I guess it's all houses. I hear it is.
Well, I think it's all gone. Now,
and that's how my husband got interested in the farming on account of him, you see. And he was in the lumber business, but he didn't like what he did because he used to load steamers and he'd have to go away. And he'd have to get up about 5 o'clock in the morning and have the lumber come down and load them all and do it all. And he hated it. And he was away from home an awful lot. So he said, I'm going to get out of all that. I'm not interested in the kind of lumber business that is at all. And I'd rather have the farm. So he bought that farm in Hampton. I don't know. I can't remember who it belonged to. And he fixed it all up and made it into a very up-to-date farm and sold the milk, you see, to Kingers down here.
Yes.
There's a dairy up back here, Kingers Dairy.
Is there?
Yeah, so they tell me.
Now, didn't that burn down at one time? And they tried to save a grand piano? Or
no, that was the Allisons.
Oh, I'm confused.
Manchester Roberts and Allison.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute. Yes, Allisons. Manchester's live over at the orphanage. Robertsons live in town where C&B is on Carlton Street opposite Stone Church. Mm-hmm. And Robertsons lived out here.
Oh, I see.
It did burn down.
Yes.
And the piano, they went right through. And, you know, they said it was just terrible. They had lovely portraits on the wall and everything, and they burned. And somebody said when they, I guess my husband was there trying to save things, they had cars that kept carrying things out and putting things, you know, people around. This is saved quite a lot of silver and stuff. And they said that the last they saw of the dining room table, the floor, that it had come up and the table just disappeared right down. Beautiful mahogany table.
Oh.
And they went away, the owners, the family, Allisons, on a trip, and the housekeeper was there, and she'd waxed all the floors and had everything lovely, and she put the rags all under the stairs in a cupboard, and she's always, and you know, she went to bed and went to sleep, and the cat scratched her. She had a pet cat, and she was all alone in the house, and the cat came up and scratched her.
To wake her up.
And jumped to wake her up and got her out of bed, and here the house was on fire. All she could do was call the phone, help, which she did, and the fire, they all came, but the house burned right down.
Oh, my.
And then the Allisons built another house there now.
Okay. Well, I have some things. Now, let me see. Okay. Now, you... What about the tea parties they used to have at
Chatelon?
Tell me about the tea parties they used to have at Chatelon. Did you attend those?
Yeah.
What went on?
Still have them.
You still do it?
I understand.
Yeah, and...
We just went and had a cup of tea and my sandwiches and...
What type of sandwiches would they have? Just cucumber? What type of sandwiches did they have? Cucumber or...
Oh, no, we'd have chicken sandwiches and lobster sandwiches. And they used to have, oh, what do you call it, and blankets, sausages, and meat all over.
Pigs in blankets, isn't
that
what they call?
Yeah, things like that, and squares.
And what was it like?
The Chatelon's always been like that. And, of course, the first Chatelon, it was lived in by bank managers.
Yes.
And then Mr. In town, he was a very wealthy man, and the shipping business owned it. And
Thompson?
He sold it, Thompson. Mm-hmm. And he sold it to the bank, and the bank managers lived there, and then the bank, I think it was Nova Scotia, sold it to Winks Fleming, who was a great friend of mine.
Tell me about her.
Well, she was a very smart girl. She ran a wonderful business, very capable, very nice.
What was her personality like?
Just full of it.
Just full of her character.
She just had it.
Yeah.
She was just a great person. I mean, if you went up there, I went there a lot because, you know, I mean, she just make you feel tone, but she did a wonderful, she started all that, you know.
Yeah.
And she was a good cook, and she had Fern, who was her cook there, who cooks down here now. Fern, I don't know what her last name is, but we go to her to get her to do cooking for us. But then she gave it up and sold it.
To William Ward.
Ward.
Yes,
Willie Ward bought it.
Yeah.
And I mean, he made quite a good thing out of it.
Why was she called Winks, or was that her real name?
Gwendolyn.
Oh.
Now you've got me there, I don't know. We always called her Winks. It was her nickname. Her name was Gwendolyn.
Oh,
pretty name, too.
And she was very, very efficient at running.
Very wonderful.
And was it all done very regal and very beautifully set?
No.
It was a very plain but nice.
Nice.
Very very hard.
Put a nice tablecloth on and something nice. Usually if you gave a party there, you'd buy some flowers or thing and put on. But she had nice cups and saucers and silver and things. And she put all her good things on. And once or twice I had parties over there and gave her, and I took some of my silver over and got her to use it, you see. Mm-hmm. I mean, she'd do that. And then one time we had a cocktail party when we had the house up here, a big one of nearly 100 people. And she did the whole thing. When I mean to say, she got all ready for it and did all ready. And she came down and moved, fixed the dining room all up. Mm-hmm. And I had a lovely dining room table, and she didn't want it, so she put a blanket over that and one of her own tablecloths, mm-hmm. and got everything all ready and got everything and did everything beautifully. And then when it was all over, she had the dishes all washed up and packed them up and put them in a van and took them home and put the dining room back as it was.
Oh, my. She's a hard worker.
Well, she did things beautifully. But Willie Ward did a good job there, too.
Yes, I'm told he did really
well. We just wondered how he would, but he really did a very good job. Of course, he'd been in the hotel business. They tell me he was.
I don't remember.
And that she came from Newfoundland, Mrs. Ward.
Yes.
She's very attractive.
Yes, lovely.
Have you met her?
I've interviewed her.
I think she's very charming.
Yes, they looked... They all themselves ran the hotel.
Yeah.
And they had boarders just coming in.
I know they did.
Yeah.
It was a lovely place to board.
Yeah.
Well, they tell me.
Did you ever go sailing?
Oh, many, many years ago.
Did you ever have a sailboat?
Yes, we had one. When the boys, our sons, were young.
Who was
it? Hated it. No, I wouldn't go in for the end. I didn't like it at all. No, I was scared to death of it.
Which one of your sons had?
And then I had a motorboat. Pardon?
Which one of your sons had? Which one of your sons had the sailboat?
Which son?
Mm.
This one. And my other son's dead. He died last year.
I see. So, and you didn't like it? You didn't like
it? Hated it.
You did?
No, I very seldom go out.
Oh, I love to sail.
But we had a lovely motorboat we bought later. He bought it in the States. Brought it down on a boat that was loaded with lumber or something. They got it down some way, but it was lovely and had a toilet. And it had, it had moved out and had things where you could eat and everything. And then you could take that out and put the two bunks together and put it down in an upper and lower and have a toilet.
Yes.
And a refrigerator and water.
This is the motorboat?
No, the motorboat.
Motorboat.
I never worked so hard in my life. I'd have to cook every thing and take it all up. No.
Tell me about, did you ever hear of the tragedies on the river?
Pardon?
Did you ever hear of tragedies on the river, people dying or people getting hurt or sinking?
No,
on the river?
No, not that I know of, I don't think.
Did you ever go on the river boats?
Lots of them in the olden days.
What were their names?
I don't know.
Where
so long ago. I'm 97 years old, you know.
Oh, my.
I can't remember.
You can't?
Not remember the names of them, no.
Can you remember where they went to?
No, I don't think I went very far. I think I just cruised around the river in Fredericton.
Oh, yeah.
Or Gagetown. No, I think it was Fredericton. No, I didn't have then. You went to Indiantown here and took one and could go up the St. John River. They had roads all along there, you know.
Oh, I see. Do you remember when they got the first pavement in the province from St. John de Rosse?
The big what?
The first pavement in the province? You don't remember?
Can't tell you anything about that.
Okay.
This was a dirt road for years and we didn't have any sidewalk.
Really?
But no.
What about the Kennedy House?
Right up at where the
Irving Station is now.
Service station is now.
Tell me what you remember about it.
My daughter-in-law was Kennedy, was Betty Steele, and her grandfather was the old Kennedy that ran it.
Oh.
So I knew a lot about it.
So tell me about it.
She was Betty Steele. And Colonel Steele married. He was worked in the Bank of Montreal at the foot of, in those days, of King Street,
mm-hmm.
and he was in that. He came from Ontario somewhere, and he met her mother, who was Ethel Steele, and a wonderful person, and Ethel Kennedy, and He married her, and the house is still there where they lived around the town, around the corner there. And
where is that? It's just the one.
Well, up at the where the candy house was, where the filling station is now.
Is that where they lived?
Well, the candy house. No, the house is down behind. They lived in. It's still there. But they kept boarders. They had a hotel.
Yeah.
Well, they're up.
And telephone and taxi service.
Yes, that, and Betty, my daughter-in-law, lots of times drove the taxi.
Did she?
If you want a taxi, first she was married, yeah.
Oh, my.
They'd say, oh, Betty, everybody's busy, and there's a car out there. Go and get, we've got a taxi order. But then she worked. She got a job, and she worked with the Mounties. She was a secretary.
Oh.
She was a lovely girl.
Imagine.
Have you, you haven't met her?
Betty Steele?
Yeah.
I haven't met her yet.
She's a lovely girl. I think the world of her.
Oh, well.
She came from here, then this one married a girl from Hamilton, Ontario.
Oh, I see. What do you remember of the fire department, the volunteer fire department?
Well, it was just up there next to the church, St. David's Church.
Mm.
And there was a fire engine there, and that's all I know. I don't know much about that.
No. What type of, do you remember any fires besides the Allison fire?
The what?
Do you remember any fires besides the
Allison? Oh, yes, another house. I don't know who owned it. Somebody owned a lovely house here. It burned.
Where was that located?
Right over here. I don't know whose it was. I couldn't tell you, and I couldn't tell you where it was. It was between here and there somewhere. I just wasn't interested.
Yeah.
But it was a very nice, I don't know the name of the people.
Hmm.
But they, because I remember sitting up in my house looking and seeing it burning at night.
Oh, my.
And then they built a modern, up-to-date house on it.
Oh.
Fairweathers, I think, owned it. And they were always big.
Oh.
Have you been up interviewing the Hill or anything?
Who are you thinking?
RCS Hill. Don't you know the College Hill?
Oh, I certainly
Everybody knows the College Hill.
Yes, ma'am. I certainly do know where that is. I've interviewed.
And the Taylors live on College Hill.
Yes.
The Taylor family are very, very prominent. Judge Taylor just died. He was.
Talked to his wife.
My son that I lost last year, his best friend. They were great, great pals. Always were. And
I talked.
Funny, they both died around the same time. But he went off the road. My son died of cancer. But Fred Taylor, who was his best friend, went off the road, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The car, I think they found him dead in the car. I remember at the time, something.
Isn't that a shame?
But they've always been there for years.
Was there cattle that used to graze in the Rossay Common?
Don't know.
You don't know?
No, I ought to know, but I don't. Bill might be able to tell you that.
What's Bill like?
Was there cattle that grazed on the Rossay Common?
Sure.
I can't answer a lot of our questions.
Sure. Yes.
Well, you're doing fine.
Those cows on the Rossay Common.
Well, I couldn't now. There, you can ask him some of the others.
Well, I've talked to him.
She got an awful kick out of the bathroom in your old house.
Yeah,
she was saying every time I used it, this is the one that the Prince of Wales sat on. And I doubt if he did.
Now, what about Jeff Kirsten's blacksmith shop?
Oh, yes.
What?
The blacksmith shop. Jeff Kirsten.
Well, lad, I don't know. Bill knows more about that.
No, he's just passing the buck here.
I know that it was there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Did they shoe horses and everything?
Absolutely, yes.
I don't know anything about that. I remember being there, but I wasn't interested.
You know what?
Right opposite Netherwood.
Right opposite the entrance to Netherwood.
Yeah, directly opposite.
Yeah.
And now there's a nice house there. And it all went out of existence.
He was a character, I guess.
Yeah, he was a character.
As many of them were.
Yeah, and then we had another character was Andy Green, the father.
I don't know much about him.
I've talked to him.
Well, that'd be his son.
Oh, that'd be his son?
That'd be Andy the father. Then what about the electrician? Is he living?
That's who I talked to.
Yes,
he is. I saw him.
Yeah, but that's not a big fat Andy. You know, he was as broad as
Oh, I know that. Was
but this one that's living now, you still, when I meet him.
Yeah.
Mr. McCarty, dear, how are you? Miss McGarry, but I'd love you here. Yeah, I always loved him, you know. Yeah, Miss McGarry, dear, now how are you today?
I talked to him the other night. Lovely.
Oh, he's a dear. He's still living, is he?
Yeah.
I wondered, though. He used to come here and work. I don't think he does anymore.
Going back to Bal McGee and when Grandfather McKay came out, when did he come out from St. John? I was guessing just before the first war.
Their summer home, Bill. Bal McGee, your son of Granny McKay's.
Yes. When did they leave Orange Street and sell Orange Street and come out?
Well, I don't
here?
Know.
You would remember.
Well, I was away for 5 or 6 years.
Of course, she was away in the first war.
You see, I lived over in England in the first war. I went over, and we were married. And I went over and stayed back there all the time, and came back after armistice. And an awful lot happened. And I said, when I came back, Katie McKay, who was Sir Douglas Hazen's daughter, had a tea for me. That I'd ride back, you see. I was just staying here. I didn't live here then. I was in town living with my mother, who lived on Germain Street. And she had a tea. And when I came back, Mother said, well, how'd you enjoy yourself? I bet you were glad to go and see her. I said, Mother, it was lovely. It was a beautiful tea. But my Lord, there were so many people I didn't know that have come. I've been out of this place for 5 or 6 years. And I had to be introduced to a lot of people. I mean, that's how things
you
change.
Well, it grows fast.
And then this was just, I can remember when this was just a dirt road, and the nice big wide bridge we have down here at College Hill was just a little rattle-trap wooden bridge. Because in the house, you'd hear things. And then we had horses that time. And this road was paved since I've been out here. And sidewalk, we didn't have any sidewalk, or I don't think we had lights.
Well, of course, going back to that time of year when I started in the public school, you may have crossed this earlier with other people, there were no school buses in those days, and they had long carriages with horses that went up the Hampton Road and up the Gondola Point Road with great big wheels on them. And there were big, long wagons with seats down. And this is
to bring the children.
This is what brought the kids to school. So
about
didn't
know
school.
That. Now you told me something.
And then when winter came, they took the wheels off of them and they put runners on them
and turned them
into sleds. And they used the same big, long wagons.
That's news to
bring
me.
The kids to school in the winter.
Of course, we lived at the foot of College Hill, and he went to RCS.
Yeah,
but all they had to do was just get out and walk up the hill.
When I was at the public school, from 25 to 29, this was the way the kids came to school.
Isn't that nice?
See, all those things I'm not too familiar
with. Back in those days, we also had Norman Diggle. Did anybody talk about Norman Diggle?
Not to very great extent. You tell me about Norman
Diggle. Well, I mean, it was just the hangout of all the kids in those days. And
well, to go back to
he
him.
Was famous
he
for
was
the fly pads.
What?
He was famous for the fly pads. We always went there for fly pads, which were date cookies, which he used to bring in great big flat pans. And he cut them up in squares.
Oh,
and sold them to us for I've forgotten how much, and they were always called fly pads.
Oh, my
and
heaven.
This is what we always went in to buy after school with our allowance.
He worked in the Union Club in St. John as a man to run the...
But you were going to talk all about Norman Diggle. He came...
He's still living.
Oh, no. He's,
did he die?
Oh, my godmother, yes.
Now, funny, I was sitting about him the other day.
His son Arthur died a couple of years ago.
Well, I knew Arthur's son died.
Yeah.
But
I
didn't know that Norman had died.
Oh, heavens,
yes. Do they live up the road?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about them.
Okay.
What about the Grove? General H.H. McLean.
The Grove and General H.H. McLean.
Well, let me prompt you. He was Lieutenant Governor, and he had big tents, that's all I know, all over the property to have...
Garden parties.
Garden parties, and beautiful displays.
You don't remember anything like that.
Did you remember?
I went there to nice parties in the house.
Tell me
what. We had a lovely hall with a fireplace in it, and it was all beautifully done, but I never remember all the things in the tents. It must have been my days when I was away.
What about getting there? How would you get there?
Well, I don't know, as I wasn't living here.
Yeah, but when you
this
did go...
This was after the war.
I had a car, my dear.
You did?
I was all my life here in Allsay. I never walked.
What type of car did you have?
Model T Ford when we started, huh?
I had a Model T, and I had every kind of a...
Gadget?
No, I didn't. But I mean, I had every kind of a Dodge. And what were the others? The other popular car. Buicks. No, the Pontiacs.
You did?
Oh, I've had a car. I had a car for years.
Did you crank that Model T? Was that a crank car?
What?
Was that Model T Ford one of those ones you had to crank up?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Can't tell you. Remember that?
You and I were talking one day about the first radio that we had.
Yeah.
You can talk about that, and we bought the shortwave radio.
Yeah, and Dad
tell her
that.
About that.
Yeah. Well, what about it?
Well, I mean, we had an early radio, and we strung the aerial across to a big tree, and it was one of the ones with the big horn on top of the radio. And
I don't remember
and then
that.
And then, of course, you told me that we got a shortwave radio that Dad had bought at a reduced price because they wanted to get one out in Roth.
Yeah.
And I remember how excited we were.
Well,
we were able to bring Madrid, Spain and on the radio.
It was expensive. And he came to me and said, "That damn those people, they only leave me alone." And I said, "Well, aren't you interested?" "No," he said, "they want too much." Well, I said, "Well, just say that you'll offer them $1,000 for just an example or something. And then they won't bother you anymore."
Oh, well, tell her about...
And he did, and they took him up on it, and they said, "Sorry, it's yours." He had to buy it.
Tell her about the silver boxes he used to bring home. Oh,
she's a lovely girl. You love her, pardon?
Is your tape on?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know what I was
going to
say. No, I don't.
Now tell her about this Percy Thompson you were going to tell
me about. Lots of money, and they bought it and lived there. And then the bank, Nova Scotia, owned it for a while, and they had managed.
Percy Thompson had a notorious son who drove around in a big sporty convertible. Yeah. You remember how he used to steam down on the wharf every Sunday morning? We all used to go to Rossay Wharf to swim after church on Sunday morning, you've been told that.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the, periodically, Percy, the son Eric, would steam down the wharf in this great big fancy convertible, absolutely loaded, 12 o'clock noon, and this was quite the talk of Rossay.
It sure was, because my brother was his best friend, and he used to be traveling with him all the time.
Yeah, but he didn't drink.
But no, he didn't drink, he tried to keep him sober. And I kept saying, "I think you're a fool, he's going to kill you." Well, no, I think I have a good influence over him. And I talked to him and he said, "Look, I understand you perfectly. And I'll just practice what you tell me." And then he says he'll turn right around and do something, so.
No, he was a wild
He was a wild Indian.
Wild one, Eric Thompson.
Speaking.
But he enjoyed life.
Well, that's good.
For the fall.
That's good. Speaking of Indians, do you remember Nellie Francis, Frankie Francis?
I don't guess she would. I don't think that
would be. Down, down here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I know who you're talking about, but I didn't know them.
You didn't know them? Not too many people knew
they
them.
They didn't travel in the social circles of Ross.
Oh, I suppose. I guess not.
No, I know who you're talking about, but I don't think I knew her to see her.
Tell me about Dr. Peters.
Oh, he was my pal.
Was he?
Well, I had him. He was my doctor.
Was he
I thought the world of him.
What did he look like? What was he like? What did he act like?
Well, he was just a good doctor.
Yeah.
And quite busy. And very, very nice man. Kind of a little man, I would say. I don't know. No, even he was had a nice tongue. He said nice things. Made you feel good, let's say that.
Yeah. He was good.
And had a lovely wife, and his daughters are here, and they're fine girls.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. He had a son, but I don't know what happened to him. He moved away, and I don't know if he's living or not.
Now, did you go to Netherwood?
No. 1 year.
Tell me about that. What year did you go to Netherwood?
Well, no, I'm 97 now, and I was about 13.
I see.
So that's a long time ago.
And what was Netherwood like when you were
I loved it, and I wanted to stay, and Mother fell out with Miss Ganong. My mother was a very definite person, what she said. was to be done. She was the boss. And she came and wanted to take me out. I loved another one. I did well, loved it. I loved to stay on, graduated there. And she came and said, I'm going to take Daphne out. We're going to New York, and I'm going to take her out early. And Miss Ganong said, you are not. Mrs. Crosby, you're not going to take her. And Mother said, I have got taking my daughter out. I'm the one that has the say. And if I want to take her to New York, I'm taking her. Well, she said, all right, you can take her, but it's against the school rules. And Mother just hated the sight of her afterwards. Mm-hmm. And Mother took me out and sent me to the Ladies' College in Halifax. Mm-hmm. And Mother came out one day to see me. My mother, Mrs. Crosby, came out one day to see me. And she always had a car, and the chauffeur worked at Crosby Molasses. But he had a uniform there, and if she wanted him, she'd call up and say, I want the car, and tell Smith to come in and bring it and take me out. So she came in to see me one day when I was living up in the other house, and she said, this is going to give you a laugh. And I said, why? And said, guess who I brought home? And she said, that was Susan B. Ganong. And I said, Mother. And she said, yes, I was living at the Beatty. She had a suite at the Beatty, and I was living. And as we passed the Capitol Theater, the bus used to stop there. She said, I saw Miss Ganong. And I said, stop, Smith, and see if Miss Ganong would like a lift to Rossay. And Mother said, after all, I'd take me out of the school and sent you to Halifax. And I said, Miss Crosby, I'd love to go with you. So Mother drove her out to Netherwood.
Isn't that funny? Well, there you go. What did you, who were some of your friends at Netherwood?
Oh, I couldn't remember. I
can't remember. Can you remember any of your teachers?
No, they're all dead, I think.
She was mentioning Mrs. Petrie. Was she?
No, she's younger than I am, Florence is.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't go to Netherwood.
No.
No, the Murray girls went from the Avenue, and I don't know, Doris Murray became a doctor afterwards and went away, and their house on Wellington Row opposite Stone Church is now an office building. Or I guess it was torn down and an office building was built.
Yeah.
And Doris, one of the girls at Netherwood, was a friend of mine. She's a doctor.
Tell me about, did you have a chauffeur?
Did I? No, but my brother did.
Did you?
And my father, my mother-in-law did.
Your husband didn't?
No, we never had one.
No.
We did our own driving. We all had cars. The boys both had a car. And I had my car, and he had his car.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of antics did you do when you were around? What were you up to? What kind of trouble did you get when you get into? How old were you when you came?
Well, I did church work, and I did quite a lot of good work around. I was a great worker in the IOD and the Navy.
Really?
Oh, yes, I was in all those things. I took jobs in the league and sold tickets and... And if we had raffle tickets to sell, I'd go around town and go to all the stores. In those days, we didn't have the shopping centers. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, now take them. And Blake Daniels was a big dry goods store, and so was MRNA's. And I'd say, take them now, and I'm leaving them, and see who you can lick. I'll leave you half a dozen packs to sell.
Great.
And if you sell more, see if you can beat them out. So I sold a lot. I was a good ticket seller.
Good.
So they told me.
Good.
I enjoyed working for things. And I worked for the church.
Yes.
And I went out to parties and everything, but I like to do things.
That's good. Tell me about the elections, some of the elections you remember. Who was in the mayor? Who was...
Oh, I can't tell you that.
You can't?
No.
No.
My brother was mayor for quite a long time, Mr. Fred Crosby, but...
Yes, I talked
Mrs.
to him.
Mrs. Starr's father... But I don't know much about that. I've never been too much interested in the Rossay.
I've talked to George Crosby.
You were talking?
I was talking to George Crosby.
He's not well. Jane says he looks very badly. I'm quite worried about him.
Yeah. He's a lovely gentleman.
I think he's on his last legs.
Do you think?
Yes, I'm sorry to hear it, but Jane was saying today. We were saying George is not well, George Crosby.
No.
He's on his last legs, I'm afraid.
He's a lovely gentleman. I got him on the tape. He was telling me about the first car, but a car he bought, and it was in the river. Did you remember that?
I remember the day he drove us through the ice off the minister's face out on the river here. I remember that day.
Well, I don't remember, but I suppose I should.
He had it out on the ice,
And it was a convertible.
I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember that.
I
Well, you're going to know a lot about Ronson when you get done.
What are you doing all this for?
I'm doing it for...
It's the Rossa Heritage Club, their foundation that have hired her. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get the stuff on tape so that the people in the 21st century will know what went on in Rossa back 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
So you're a voice lady, you'll live in posterity.
There you go.
Your great-great-great-great-grandchildren will probably be listening to you talking when...
Probably be bored to death.
2200.
Say, what's that old come along for?
Oh, you think this is silly.
No, I'm not silly. I have more sense than you think I have.
I think that they'd probably be very happy to hear about
that. I told her about the Bannisters, my schoolmates of hers, the consolidated member of the Bannisters.
Yeah,
were
I know.
Well.
And I would like to thank you very much. I would like to thank you very much for having me.
Well, and I think talking to you, I've enjoyed it very much.
Good. Okay, could you tell me? Okay, I have permission to take you.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's the 21st of August, 1989. Cynthia Steeves is doing the taping. Tell me a little bit about this workshop of which gentleman was it? What was his full name?
Robert Campbell.
The original man himself.
Yeah.
Now you saw what you would go to the workshop.
Well, I tell you what we were doing. We were putting a new furnace in. And I was working with Father's carpenter. We had to cut out the razors. Anyway, I was cutting out and I struck a nail or something with the tool. And he said, Doug, come out to the workshop and shaft me. Well, it's a great big long shaft, about 40 feet long, I suppose. The belt used to come down to the... Well, mine was a grinder.
Mm-hmm.
But it came down this side, so they did. The first thing I stepped in the door, he said, Doug, watch your step. Don't you dare step on my wings. The floor was covered with crow's wings.
Was it?
Well, that's what he was studying, I think.
And what was the workshop like? And how old would you be?
Me, I'd be about 24 or 5, I suppose.
And you went into the workshop. Now, what was the workshop like? It had crow's wings everywhere.
Crows all over the floor. You had to watch the step. You didn't step on them. Part of I stepped on one, they threw me out.
Were they live crows, or were they?
No, just the wings.
Just the feathers and the wings.
Just the wings. He had laid on the floor, studying them somehow, I suppose.
Did he have any contraptions built or anything?
Before that?
No, when you were in there. Did he have
no.
any kind of things besides that?
I don't remember that part. I just remember the big shaft across and the belts going down.
What would they be used for?
Well, going down to motors and saws and different things.
Oh, see? And
maybe there's about nine of them, I'm not sure. There's a big shaft overhead, and
yes.
You wanted to use the grinder, you put it in the gear.
Now...
He was a very...
What was he like?
Huh?
What was he like?
A very quiet man. His mind was... He ran out in manners, his mind was somewhere else, you know.
Always thinking.
Thinking, anyway. I remember his wife was always acting, like, do this river. But I just added things like that. And he'd say, yes, Mary, and go on his way. But you know, I tend to do one time when we were in town. And she would always have to sit in the back seat. She wouldn't sit in the front seat, she had to sit in the back.
Why?
Well, she was half crazy. She was in her mind that was the safest place in the back seat. And she was right, too, as far as that goes. Well, when I ran away, I got to stop and add some others. Somewhere's in Rossi Avenue, and he stopped and went into the store to mills and others.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and get in the car and go home. We got the front door. I said, here we are, Mary, we're home. I looked in the back seat, came no Mary there.
You left Mary at the door?
Yeah.
Where'd he leave Mary?
When he was in the post office or everywhere, she could have been somewhere else. And he never knew Mr. He did the wrong. So he drove back. Huh?
He was forgetful.
So he said his mind was somewhere else. And then we drove back to where we got the stamps, and there was Mary still down there waiting for him.
What? Where did he live?
He lived in half a... down the lane. You know the houses down the lane?
Somewhere.
The new one on Mount Pella.
I know the Crosby House. That's on Peter's Lane, though, actually.
It used to be. They used to own the place on...
Who's this?
Almond Lane.
Who?
George Crosby's.
Where exactly abouts on Almond Lane, though, did Rupert Turnbull?
First house, right off the road.
I see. And... How old?
He used to own that place of Mortimer's. He built it.
How old was he when he made the variable pitch propeller?
Well, I don't know how old he was. It was before the First War.
I see. And you don't know?
He built a plane, you see.
He did?
Yeah.
Was he before the Wright brothers?
Hmm?
Was he before the Wright brothers?
No, he was after.
That's what I thought.
When he built the plane, he had a track built somehow up where he lived. It's back in Mortimer's Lake. You go in Almond Lane, but it's the first driveway going up.
On left or right?
On the left going this way.
Coming from going in, turning off the main road into left?
Grandson lives in it now.
Oh.
And so did Joe Steele, and Joe Steele sold it back to his grandson.
What else can you tell me about him, Rupert Turnbull?
Tell me about him.
Yeah, what can you tell me about him? What did he look like?
He was quite husky. With 5'9" or so.
Mm-hmm. And?
Very nice man to talk to.
What did he do? How did he make his living? Was he just given the money from his parents?
No, he made a fortune out of the pitch of pedal.
But before that?
Every plane that went down was here. He had the word. The pitch of feather on, I think it was around during the First War. He got a royalty on every one.
Okay, but how did he make his money before that? How old was he when he made the variable pitch propeller? About? Previous to that, he must have done
something. I suppose he was around 50. I don't know how old he'd be.
He must have done something before that, though.
As I told you, his father, they made the $100,000 to the Turnbull home. He started it, you see. So he must have had money. They had money. They started with us.
I see. Who else do you remember down in Rossay? Who was the station master, Rossay? Who ran the trains and worked the trains, besides Mr. O'Brien?
Well, I think before him was Robertson.
Robertson who? What's his full name?
My name was Robertson. Bill Robertson, I think. He dropped dead.
Did he?
Watching television when he was station master there. And there used to be... The year he charged me, he was on a meter one night and day, you see. I was young.
And what years did each of these people work? When did the Robertson, when did he work at the station house? What years?
I couldn't tell you what year.
What year did Mr. O'Brien start, do you know? What year did Mr. O'Brien start it?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you the date, but now I was at Robertson. I know he was there in 40. My dad died in 46.
Mm-hmm.
Robertson was there then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the year before that, Hal Graves was night band before that.
Who was it?
Hal Graves.
Hal Graves. And he was Nightman?
Yeah.
What did the Nightman do?
Well, they went on 4 o'clock and stayed at 12. In them days, there was no other way to travel, only by train.
Yeah. what about... Who were some people that you used to play with when you were...
I don't know, the Pierce's next door. Cameron's.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't too many of them of my age at that time. Know what I mean?
No. It wasn't built up.
Huh?
It wasn't that many people.
No, I could name every house in Rossi 50 years ago.
Name every house in Rossi 50 years ago. Tell me all the houses that were in Rossi 50 years ago.
Well, Rossi Park was across from where we lived, was 8 Darwin,
mm-hmm.
and Pierce's the next house, and old Walter Gilbert had a summer place there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Schofield, and there was old Page lived behind. He was a come out there in summer. And well, Mrs. Harrison bought the house afterwards. And Cudlips and Fred Sayre, from the utility of Sayre's, I suppose.
Oh, yes.
Hmm?
Oh, yes.
Fred Sayre was the old grandfather. The old Chippen, up in Chippen. And John Sayre was his son. I worked for him.
You did?
Huh?
You did.
I can't remember. Remember there, Richard lived down Riverside. His dinner was old Sarah's wife's. Mrs. Sarah, and he's coming up to old Richard's going about having this cardinal. I can't do anything right for me. Well, old Sarah said, you want someone, something done right? He said, call back right, he said.
Did you ever work with Joseph Henderson?
No.
You didn't. You would be too old to work with you. You would be younger, wouldn't you?
No, he's my dad's age.
Is he? I see. And did you ever work with on Joe Henderson houses, though?
Painting or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I see. That's interesting.
I did some painting for old Joe.
Joe Henderson?
Hmm.
What was Joe Henderson like?
He's never...
Yeah.
Never a quiet fellow, something like a old terrible, never had much to say. Hmm?
Yeah, he was quiet.
Hmm?
He was quiet, was he?
Yeah.
And, did he... What was his family? Who was in his family?
Mary McCracken.
Was his daughter?
Yeah.
Now...
Do you want to interview her or not?
I'm going to.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Her husband died not long ago.
That's why I've been waiting
here. Hmm?
I've been waiting so I could. I've been giving her some time, hopefully see her a little later.
Yeah.
Tell me, what was this Muriel's mom's name?
Who?
Muriel McCracken's mom. What was her name?
I don't know.
Was that all there was in the family?
Yeah, it was only daughter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And why was Joe Henderson's house so famous?
I didn't know they were famous.
They're pretty famous.
Yes, it
is. He put a lot of hoes, didn't he, Marcy?
Yes.
My grandfather did too.
Did he? What was your grandfather's name?
George.
George Wright.
He died in 1945. He built the rectory one year and they were having some kind of deal when he died. Right before he died. In Calton. He was building a house next door where Patrick lived. And he built it from the chimneys that ground up the day before and topped it out that day. That night he died at 12 o'clock, 53 years old. He had diabetes, which is no cure much for it then.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
For having me.
When they built that house, my grandfather built the house like Dobbins across the road, and he put that one with my granddaughter lived in.
Mrs. Patterson.
Hmm?
Mrs. Patterson.
Hmm.